This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
It's time for Sports Saturday, brought to you by Prairie Farms Dairy in Carlinville. Taste the homemade goodness of Prairie Farms. Mark Searin, your State Farm Insurance agent in Litchfield. By Kurtz 24-Hour Heavy and Light Duty Towing in Litchfield. By DC Waste and Recycling in Hillsboro. Bruce Webb Insurance in Farmersville and Raymond. By Nancy's Pizza in Litchfield. By the Huff & Sons Funeral Homes in Hillsboro, Raymond, and Farmersville. CTI Tech, bringing 1 gig internet to Hillsboro and beyond. Hillsboro Area Hospital, your front door to a world of healthcare. And by Garrell's Auto Body and Repair in Litchfield. And on this Saturday morning, we join WSMI's Tim Mize.
Thank you very much, David Jenkins, and welcome to WSMI Sports Saturday, Championship Saturday across the state. And we've got a baseball and softball triple header lined up on FM 106 coming up at 11 o'clock this morning. The 2A Gillespie Softball Regional Championship has Hillsboro facing the Miners for the third straight year in the regional title game. That'll be live at 11. Then live at 1 o'clock, off to Nokomis for the 1A Baseball Regional Final between Nokomis and Toledo Cumberland. And then at 3 o'clock this afternoon, we will bring you the broadcast from Pena in that 2A Baseball Regional Championship between Carlinville and Shelbyville. And David, we're going to start right there with Carlinville. You were in Pena the other day, a 7-inning perfect game for the Cavaliers. That is remarkable.
It is pretty remarkable. I mean, you see oftentimes no-hitters at the high school level. I mean, I've seen my fair share in person, but perfect games just don't really happen because even as tricky as it can be to hit high school pitching sometimes, a lot of times the pitchers are still wild and effectively wild, and sometimes that's why they're able to not allow any hits. But no, not a lot of three-ball counts by the Carlinville pitching staff. There were a few of them, but for the most part, just a dominant day. Specifically, Colton DeLong started the day, pitched four perfect innings. And credit where credit is due to Don Borgini, the head coach of the Carlinville Cavaliers, because a lot of coaches would leave a pitcher who's perfect through four innings in and see how long they can go. But he took him out because he wanted him to be ready for today. He wanted all of his key pitchers ready for today, and because of that, he's ready to pitch today.
And you caught up with Don Borgini after that ball game and got his thoughts.
First of all, congratulations. What a way to advance to the regional championship on Saturday.
It was. We had a tremendous pitching performance, and I thought our kids did a nice job at the plate and driving the pitch count up. And we just made the plays. You know, it's a good ball game.
Yeah, absolutely. Always a good day when you don't allow any base runners. And not really a lot of three-ball counts either, to be honest.
No, I tell you, all three of them were on and threw the ball well today, so I had good fastballs, all three of them today.
What were you seeing in particular out of Colton, who started the game?
Well, like I said, I thought he had really good pop, really good fastball, and throwing strikes. You know, that's the key. All three kids are in there throwing strikes. So, you know, when you can do that, you can get ahead in the count and move the ball around. It's oldest rule in baseball, throw strikes and move it around.
Absolutely. And even though it was a dominant day pitching-wise and defensively for you guys, your batters did have a tough day a little bit at the plate. I mean, you got base runners on, but only four runs scored.
Yeah, well, he's tough. He threw against us last week, and I really am very impressed with him. I think he's just a sophomore, and I'm telling you, he's going to be around. He's going to be a very good pitcher. I mean, obviously a college-style pitcher. He's going to be coming. I mean, he's only going to get better. So coach has got a real good kid over there, and I'm going to find a way to deal with him for the next 2 years. But he's outstanding. He's outstanding.
Right. You obviously don't know your opponent yet because that game is being played tomorrow. Do you know anything about either Shelbyville or Arthur Levington?
I do not. I don't know anything about them, so I'll be trying to find out.
Will you be back here tomorrow to scout him a little bit?
Maybe. Maybe not. I don't know. I'm not sure what I'm going to do yet. I know we're going to practice after school, so we'll see what happens.
Yeah. Do you have a little bit of a plan for what you're going to do pitching-wise on Saturday already, or are you just going to kind of wait and see what happens?
I'm going to wait and see what happens. I have everybody eligible for whatever I need them to have on Saturday, so I'm in good shape.
Sounds good. Well, thanks again for a few minutes of your time, and congratulations.
Hey, thank you very much.
That was Carlinville head baseball coach Don Borgini talking about that perfect game his club tossed in the regional semifinal. And David, it's been a banner year for Carlinville baseball. School record in wins. They are loaded with talent, and here they are today playing for a regional championship against Shelbyville. And this is a team, at the start of the year, I think we all thought they're going to be awfully good. I don't know that we thought they were going to be quite as good record-wise that they are, because they have just not lost very many ball games all year. But they have got talent across the board.
They really do, and I agree. We thought going into the season that they were going to be pretty good. I didn't see them being 21-2 and competing for a South Central Conference title necessarily, but other than that loss to Greenville, they went 8-1 in the South Central, finished second. So a phenomenal year for them. I think a lot of people maybe thought Staunton would compete with Greenville, and ended up being Carlinville. And, you know, one thing about their pitching staff, as great as they are, and a lot of it had to do with the fact that Kyle Dixon was hurt for a big portion of the year with his throwing arm, but they don't necessarily have that ace pitcher, or that dominant number one, I guess you could say, but they're very good at hitting their spots. All of their pitchers are, and not allowing free passes, and that's crucial at the high school game.
And the Carlinville Cavaliers sports year in general has been stellar. Football team was great. Girls basketball team won 20 games. Of course, Rory Drew for the Carlinville track and field girls team competing in the state finals today. The Carlinville boys track and field team has 10 representatives in different events coming up at the state tournament next week. And, of course, the baseball team playing for the regional title today.
Girls soccer team in the sectional championship.
Girls soccer team in the sectional championship. You're exactly right. And we're going to be having Tim Johnson on the program coming up a little bit later this morning as they get set to take on St. Teresa in that sectional championship today in Litchfield. That'll be a 2 o'clock start. But Carlinville and Greenville tied for the all-sports championship in the South Central Conference this year. So you talk about greatness consistently from the fall all the way to the spring. Carlinville has had it, and it's been just a wonderful year for the South Central Conference as a whole. When you think about what the Hillsborough girls basketball team did, we saw 6 girls basketball teams win 20 games this year, and then the softball in the South Central Conference this year was outstanding. Mm-hmm. Hillsborough, of course, the outright champions there, beating Southwestern late in the regular year, and we have Hillsborough playing Gillespie today in a softball championship. That'll be our first broadcast this morning on FM 106. And third straight year that Hillsborough and Gillespie have met in a regional final. And hopefully, for the Toppers' perspective, the third time will be the charm.
Yeah, because they've had regular season success against the Miners, but when it comes to the postseason matchups, they've fallen a bit short. Last year, I know their defense kind of let them down a little bit. Kai Hanner pitched that regional championship game. I got to do it. She pitched fairly well, but again, too many mistakes defensively for the Toppers. Tried to make comebacks at times late in the game, but the defensive mistakes just ended up looming large in that regional championship game last year. You talked about the success that the Carlinville sports program has had this year. The Toppers, you could say, if not have equaled that, have held their own pretty much throughout all sports as well.
Well, when your team goes to state in basketball, that gives you a leg up. There's no doubt about that. And then their softball
team.
Golf team, of course, medaled as well. And the softball team's lost only 3 games this year. They lost to the defending 1A champion, Windsor Stoustross. Mm. They lost to Buffalo Tri-City, who potentially could be in the Litchfield sectional next week as well. And then they lost a 1-run game to Jersey, of course, who plays in Class 3A. And then that great win over Southwestern. So the Topper softball team, they have revenge on their mind today. The thing about Gillespie, though, is they're a great program. They are, I think, 4 straight years they've won a regional, and it's just a program that just keeps on rolling. Some schools are able to just churn out specific types of athletes, and Gillespie just develops softball players. And, you know, they might not have the elite pitching that they've had in years past, but their pitching is very good, and their lineup is just filled top to bottom with very solid hitters, and a lot of them are young, only sophomores.
Oh, yeah, and they've kind of, because of how dominant the top of the South Central Conference was in softball, specifically with Hillsborough and Southwestern, Gillespie kind of maybe got forgotten a little bit. They got the 4 seed in the subsectional, which is why they're matching up in the championship game against Hillsborough. They're probably not picked by a lot of people to win today against Hillsborough. However, I don't know that a lot of people would be surprised if they were to pull off the upset, just because the track record is there.
It's going to be a heck of a ball game coming up today at Gillespie. We need to get to a break here on Sports Saturday. We'll come back with more following these messages. Tim Mize and David Jenkins back here on WSMI Sports Saturday, getting you set for Championship Day across the state of Illinois. We have a triple header lined up on FM 106. Softball from Gillespie Live at 11 with the Hilltoppers and the Miners. Baseball in Class 1A from Nokomis, as Nokomis will take on Toledo Cumberland. That'll be live at 1. And then at 3 o'clock, we will have the broadcast from Pena today between Carlinville and Shelbyville. And, of course, the Carlinville girls soccer team will be playing St. Teresa in the sectional championship at Litchfield. That's a 2 o'clock start, and we'll be having a conversation with head coach Tim Johnson coming up in just a few moments here on Sports Saturday. David, there are some other games of note around the area. In the Auburn Regional Championship, North Mac will be taking on New Berlin. That's an 11 o'clock start this morning, and North Mac has had a very strong season.
Yes, they have, and they were the second in the subsectional, defeated Pittsfield, who was the seventh seed in the regional semis. Not really much of a game, 11-2. New Berlin able to pull off the upset against Auburn, setting up that matchup against North Mac, and I'm sure a lot of people thought it would be a North Mac Auburn championship, and that's not the case because you don't play the games on paper.
You do not. Thank goodness. Otherwise, it'd be boring.
Yes, they would be. But it seems like, for the most part, in our area with regional baseball and softball, the seeds have held true pretty far. I mean, we don't have a lot of upsets, especially softball. We talked about how good that sectional was or is going to be at Litchfield. The regional championship matchups, for everyone that's feeding into that sectional, I believe all the seeds held pretty true. So no surprises, really.
Coming up in Greenville today, the Comets will play for a regional championship on their home diamond, the opponent, Tautopolis. So Greenville, the champions of the South Central Conference, they have really turned into a perennial power under head coach Todd Hutchinson, but always talk about the draw is so important. And when you draw the wooden shoes in the regional championship, well, thanks for stopping by.
That's tough. Unfortunately, Greenville will be playing on their home field, so that's good, and that might be the only advantage they have going into the game.
We've seen a number of South Central teams run into Tautopolis. It's been at the sectional level the last number of years. Southwestern did it twice, I believe. Staunton played them last year in the sectional final, and the Wooden Shoes have all – they've all been tight ball games, but T-Town just always finds a way to pull it out.
Didn't Staunton have their chance to win last year in that game?
They did. That was a ball game that really – in the middle innings, it was there for the taking. And I've said it before, and I'll say it again. Everyone thinks of T-Town as a basketball school and a basketball town. And they are in a lot of ways. But when you start looking at the history of the Tautopolis baseball program, it is a better history in terms of state tournament success than the basketball program. Just the spring sports get overlooked for a variety of reasons. But this T-Town baseball program under Justin Fleener has been one of the best and certainly one of the most consistent programs in the entire state for a long period of time. So Greenville is going to have their hands full today with the Wooden Shoes. At Moreau Forsyth, Pleasant Plains will take on Moreau Forsyth. And, of course, Plains will be hosting that sectional coming up next week. And you talk about another program, David, that is just year after year right there in deep postseason play. It's the Plains Cardinals.
Oh, absolutely. State champions a few years ago, or went to the state tournament at least. Did they win it all? Yeah, so, I mean, they're very, very, very talented program, and obviously we could be seeing them next week. It just depends on the outcome of today's game. But Carlinville, should they advance over Shelbyville in the regional championship today, will be feeding into that Pleasant Plains sectional. North Mac as well, if they were to win over New Berlin today, would be feeding into that sectional as well. That's going to be a tough baseball sectional because you've got, you know, Porta or Beardstown, you've got North Mac and New Berlin, Carlinville, Shelbyville, and then Moreau Forsyth and Pleasant Plains. Plains the 3 seed, so a down year by their standards. So
That
probably says how good a year Moreau Forsyth had more than anything.
And it's been such a great year. You know, we talk a lot about the South Central Conference, but the Sangamon Conference as well. Just the number of quality teams and the depth of teams in both of these leagues has really been strong all year long, and we're going to see that coming up next week when we get into sectional play. In Class 1A today in Nokomis, Nokomis will take on Toledo Cumberland. We'll have that broadcast live at 1 o'clock here on FM 106. And Dave, you're talking about a Nokomis team that last year played in the sectional final plays a tough – they play a lot like the basketball. You know, mm-hmm. they'll play a 2A, 3A schedule to get themselves prepared for the types of games they're going to be involved in today. Now, seed-wise, they will actually be the visiting team today, even though they will be hosting the ball game on their own diamond. And I don't know much about Cumberland, but I do know this. Nokomis will not go down without a fight.
No, and like, obviously, like Gillespie softball, the Nokomis baseball team has been here before, so they'll have that working for them. I'm like you. I don't know really anything about the Toledo Cumberland's baseball team other than the fact that they're seeded second, so they got seeded just ahead of Nokomis. Whether or not that makes a difference, home or away, today's game, it's at Nokomis, so I don't know that it will make a huge difference, but... Nokomis will be ready to play. Brian Pisco's had Nokomis' team ready to play for years. They do pretty well in the regionals. The sectional has been their issue, but we'll see today. Again, it's hard to analyze the game not knowing or whenever you don't know much about the opponent. So we'll see.
And that's always, you know, in postseason, it's always a fine line. How much do you worry about the opponent versus just doing what you do? And I think that's one of the things that makes Nokomis so strong consistently is they do what they do.
They do.
You know, they're not going to beat themselves. They're going to find ways to get it done. They can beat you in multiple ways. They got one hit against San Elmo Brownstown in their semi. One hit and won the game. Scored all four of their runs in the first inning, but their pitching was dominant. 17 strikeouts between Drew Massett and Evan Herbstreit, and Carter Sobel will get the ball coming up today for Nokomis in this regional championship game. And after their win over St. Elmo Brownstown, we caught up with head coach Brian Pisco. Coach, just a few minutes have passed here since you wrapped up another trip to a regional championship game. And this one was odd. Strange game.
Yeah, well, we knew going in Philpott was awful good. He's going to Kaskaskia College, and he's in the mid-80s and great curveball. And I thought the first inning, when we got our four runs, we put a lot of good at-bats together where we were down 1-2, 0-2, and we walked, I hit by pitch, and you got to get those guys early, and we did, and thank God our pitching was good enough to make it last.
The pitching was the story of the day, 17 strikeouts for your pitching. Drew Massett was sensational, but he got in a jam there in the sixth. For as good as the pitching was, all of a sudden the tying runs up at the plate.
Yeah, he walked three guys in a row, and you can't do that in postseason. I mean, you're not going to, you know, you might not get another chance seven-inning game, so... What I was proud of, though, he, you know, regained himself, mentally tough, came back, and we kind of went to plan B with more breaking balls, and he had a good one today. And they chased a lot out of him, and, you know, he did a great job, you know, changing from plan A to B.
And when you get the types of swings that he got consistently, you know that breaking ball was working because there was a lot of check swings and soft swings.
Yeah, and balls in the dirt, you know. So, yeah, he did a great job. Then, of course, Herbstreit comes in, and he's done that. I think that's his eighth save on the year. So he's money, usually in late, and we've counted on him for, you know, a lot of games.
So here you are again, another regional championship game, this time on your home field against the Toledo Cumberland squad that obviously they're the 2 seed, you're the 3 seed. So as you've seen them this year, thoughts on the opponent for Saturday?
I've only seen them play once, and that was yesterday. Solid defensively. I think they've got great pitching, and then offensively, they're okay. They're not great. So we're definitely going to have to hit the ball a little bit better than we did tonight. You know, to get by them.
Will we see Sobel on the mound?
Yeah, I plan on Sobel starting. And you know, bad thing is, like I said, we hadn't played in 9 days, and he hasn't pitched, and it's got to be 9 or 10. So thought about giving him an inning, but tonight for a bullpen, but we decided not to.
And that's the old rest versus rust, I guess, and hopefully he's just rested.
Exactly. We thought about it the whole game. We you know, we wasn't sure what to do, and we decided to, you know, have him with all of his bullets for Saturday.
Coach, it's been another phenomenal year for us. 17-4 on the — we talked about it when you won the Montgomery County Baseball Tournament. You play a tough schedule, four moments like a regional championship game in 1A.
Exactly. Well, you know, our thing is we don't want to go to postseason and see something that we haven't seen. Yeah. You know, you got to go out there, and you got to take your beat, and you got to face good people. And the thing it does is it makes you better. And like I said, we've faced guys like that this year, and we've done a little bit better. But hopefully, we knocked the rust off tonight.
All right, Coach, congratulations on the win today, and good luck in the title game.
Thank you.
That was Nokomis head coach Brian Pisco, as they will be hosting Toledo Cumberland this afternoon. We'll have live coverage at 1 o'clock here on WSMI FM 106. And, of course, our third broadcast of the day from the 2A Pena Baseball Regional, Carthenville taking on Shelbyville. That broadcast at 3 o'clock this afternoon here on WSMI, streaming it all online at WSMIRadio.com. Elsewhere in 1A baseball today in Carrollton, the Hawks will take on the Bunker Hill Minutemen. Well, that's a 1 o'clock start. The Minutemen handled Calhoun 16-0 in the semifinal. The score itself is shocking that Bunker Hill beat Calhoun by that margin. Now, I believe the Hawks had beaten the Minutemen 3-1 in a game earlier this year. So that has the potential to be another quality regional championship game coming up today. That will be in Carrollton beginning at 1 o'clock. Jacksonville Rout has had a strong year. They're playing for the regional title at Concord. They will take on Mount Sterling, Brown County. You ever been over to Mount Sterling, David?
Not that far. Been over in that general area, but never made it up to Brown County.
I was over there years ago for, I think Monala was over there for the football playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
You're out there. You know, this coming from a kid who's lived on a farm and grew up in the country his entire life. And about halfway there, it's like, where are we?
Yeah.
It's like in Carmi. It's on the opposite side of the state, but it's like Carmi, White County stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you. You're out there.
Yeah.
Civilization? Haven't seen it for miles.
Well, I think it's the only school in the county, too, in Mount Sterling. So that says even more. When it's a small school and it's the only school in the county, that tells you what you're dealing with.
Coming up in Morrisonville this morning, that'll be a 10 o'clock start. Greenfield Northwestern will face Pawnee. And Greenfield Northwestern is one of those teams, David, that it seems like every time I saw scores this year, they were putting up big numbers.
No, absolutely. Really, the WIVC conference, you hear about it with other sports other than spring sports, just because the spring sports kind of fall under the radar. But really, across the board, Greenfield Northwestern, a pretty good sports program. Baseball, they've had a very, very solid year.
So that kind of runs down the local baseball regionals of note, as, again, we will have a triple header coming up here on FM 106. And we're going to start in Gillespie with the Class 2A Regional Championship between Hillsboro and the Miners. It's the third straight year that these two programs will square off for a regional championship. And earlier this week, after Hillsboro had beaten Carthenville 10-0 to advance in to the regional championship game, had a chance to catch up with Topper head coach Brett Teakin.
Teak, you playing for a regional championship, always a good thing.
Yeah, Saturdays during the spring and getting a chance to play for regionals, always fun.
Well, in the semifinal game over Carthenville, a 10-0 win, but Kai Hanner made some history in the process, her 800th career strikeout.
Yeah, she's been so solid for us for 4 years, and to reach a milestone like that, to get to 800, we knew it was getting close, and couldn't happen to a better person. She's just a great player and a great person, and I'm really, really proud of her of what she's accomplished.
And she did it in style, struck out the side on 9 pitches.
Yeah, that's a perfect inning if you call it that. She gets in her role and gets her rhythm going, and she's really tough to hit.
Well, your guys' offense had a couple of big innings in the win over Carthenville, and I guess it was nice to get the 5 runs in the 6th inning to save some pitches on Kai.
Yeah, we've got plenty of time off, and she wants to throw in between Saturday. She said she'll throw whenever we want her to throw. it's nice to get that done and save some pitches, because there's only so many bullets in the gun.
Well, you won the conference outright by beating Southwestern. And I remember during the basketball season, it was win the conference first, then worry about the postseason, and you're in the same situation now as you were then.
Yeah, we want to – conference is always something we want to have a shot to win, and we were able to do it in both sports, and now we've got a shot at a regional after doing it in basketball, and it's been a while since softball's won a regional, so it'd be nice to come out Saturday and whoever we play, Staunton or Gillespie, give it our best and hopefully come home with some hardware.
You've had your season end on this field probably more times than you would care to. This is always a tough regional to deal with.
Yeah, whenever you're playing Gillespie at Gillespie, Gillespie in general is a really great program, and they're always tough to beat. And coming over here, there's going to be a good crowd, and we're going to have to play a really good ball game and well-pitched and some timely hits.
26-3 on the year now, and what stands out to me is you got 29 games in this year.
Yeah, that's amazing. We were lucky two Saturdays. We got six games in on two Saturdays combined, three on each one. But still, you look around, we haven't practiced much, but we've got our games in, it seems like.
Haley Major at the top of your lineup, she just really sets the table for you.
Yeah, she gets on base. She's so fast and just really causes a lot of problems for the other team. And she's a good base runner along with being fast. And like I say, a lot of times from third base box, you go, we go. And she gets on, good things happen for us.
We joked on the broadcast that she's only caught stealing once, but maybe she tripped.
Yeah, I don't remember when it was, but I do remember getting caught one time, and I don't think she did, but somebody made a really good throw. I know that.
Brett Teakin, the Hillsboro softball coach, thanks for a few minutes of time, and good luck in the regional championship.
Thank you.
That was Hillsboro head coach Brett Teakin, and of course, the Toppers, they've got good vibes rolling right now, David, with the girls basketball team getting to state. The softball team, you got to take it one step at a time, and Teakin won't let them look ahead. The girls won't look ahead, but they saw what the girls basketball team did, and just a few of the players are crossover, so you know it's a different group of kids, obviously, but they want to make their own mark, you know, they right. want to leave their own legacy, and they've got the pitcher and Kai Hanner to get it done. And you know that a player like Kai, who's going to St. Louis University, she doesn't want to go out 3 years in a row in the regional championship to the same team,
right? And she's a very good, very dominant pitcher. The defense has to really help her up, because I can't stress it enough. Last year, I know it was only one game, but boy, it made a difference. The defense really, really struggled behind her to where she pitched well, but I mean, the defense just didn't help her out. So that's going to be, she can't pitch like she has all the pressure on the world on her, because that'll really affect how she's pitching on the mound today. They're good up the middle defensively, Hillsboro is, and they've got good players scattered throughout their team, but they got to be able to make the easy outs. You can't give away outs to this Gillespie team.
And, you know, sometimes when you have a dominant pitcher like Kai Hanner, not a lot of balls put in play.
No.
So
right.
as a defense, it's easy to kind of get back on your heels and maybe lose focus. So then all of a sudden a ball gets hit to you, and you're like, oh, I got to make a play.
Right, yeah, that's exactly right. And, you know, a lot of times when the pitcher is as dominant as she can be, that nobody else gets to play. In other words, you know, they're all just here to watch the game, but we'll see how it goes today. They have to be on their toes and be ready to play, even if Kai is having a dominant game.
And for Gillespie, keeping Haley Major off the bases will be job number one, because when she gets on, she's going to steal. She's only been caught stealing once all year, and she's got the pop as well at the top of the order. It's a deep lineup with power. So Gillespie will have their hands full keeping that Hillsboro offense in check today. And the Miners had a walk-off win against Staunton in their regional semifinal win, as Shelby Taylor led off with a triple and eventually came around to score when Riley Jarman smashed one past Rebecca Calderero at shortstop as the Miners walked it off into the regional championship. And after that game, caught up with Gillespie head coach Michelle Smith.
For the fifth straight year, you guys are going to play for a regional championship.
Yep. We have come to expect that since we've been around, so that's a good thing.
This is a program with expectations, and I think that helps you when you get in a game like you were in the semifinals against Staunton, where it was just nip and tuck the whole way.
Yeah, it was a very close game. Early in the season, we beat them by quite a bit. So, but they played well today, and they pitched well today. And I thought we played good defense and pitched well today. We weren't hitting great at the beginning. A couple times we hit balls right at people, and they made some plays. But, you know, in the end, we won out, and that's good to see that the fight is there till the end, so that we stayed in there and came back. So.
And in the tie game in the seventh inning, Shelby Taylor, who hits ninth for you, but she's not your normal ninth-place hitter, plugs the gap and gets a triple. And I noticed there was no hesitation. You were waving her over to third all the way.
Yeah, she's got the speed, and we use it when we can. It's good to see her succeed. She's a good kid. She works hard at what she does, and yeah, I love to see her run the bases. So if she's moving, I'm not stopping her.
And Sydney Byers, I guess, in a lot of ways, she did today what she's done for you all year.
Yeah, she's struggling off and on, you know, sometimes like pitchers do, but she cleaned it up and she's working hard today, and that's good to see at this time of year, so that's what you want to see, so that's good, yep.
So your opponent coming up in the regional championship will be Hillsboro, and obviously familiar.
Yep, absolutely. I just got done telling the girls we've had a lot of similar scenarios where we had lost to them in the, you know, conference season or the regular season, and we came back and beat them in the postseason, and we just got to play good ball and keep moving forward, and this is a new season that we're playing now, and we got to forget about what happened in the past and keep going forward. So, yeah, anxious to get there on Saturday.
I mean, every season is different. Every team is different, like you just alluded to. But can you draw on, or can your girls draw on some of those past experiences against this opponent?
Yeah, I mean, most of these guys in that last year was the same scenario. We lost to Hillsboro in the regular season, and all these sophomores that are starting were starting last year as freshmen. You know, we only have two seniors this year and a lot of sophomores, but a lot of those sophomores got a lot of playing time. So they do have experience in these situations, which is nice. We are young, but they do have those game situations. So let's hope that they remember those finally and go out and get it and get it done. So
we got to give a shout-out to Joe Kelly. I don't know how he got this field ready for play for the semifinal because it was flooded in the morning, but spectacular playing conditions.
Yes, he spent all day out here, and he has been with me for 15 years taking care of whatever field we're on, and I am indebted to him forever. And one of the parents, Michael Hayes, came out today also on his day off and helped out, so we really appreciate that when Jim couldn't be here. So, yes, it looks great, actually, considering all the rain we got early this morning. So,
Michelle Smith, congratulations on another regional championship appearance, and good luck.
Thank you.
That was Miners head softball coach Michelle Smith, and it is program versus program here, David. This isn't a matter of, oh, they're having a nice year. Both of these schools have great softball programs that at the start of the year expect to be playing in this game today.
Well, absolutely. I mean, any other year, we could have been penciling in Gillespie as a shoe-in for a sectional berth, or sectional semifinal berth, but because there were a few teams in the South Central Conference that were just a little bit better than they were, at least in the regular season, I'm serious. They really did fly under the radar, and here they are again, a four seed, find themselves in the regional championship game. So even though some people may be overlooking them a little bit, you can't do that because they've been here before. They've got they've got the horses. They've got the players to do it. So they're going to be a dangerous out today.
Don't sleep on the Miners.
That's right.
And Hillsboro will not.
No, they won't.
When a team has beaten you two straight years and ended your year, you do not overlook them.
Right.
You square, steely-eyed focus for the toppers today right on the Gillespie Miners, as Gillespie has what Hillsboro wants, and that is that regional championship.
It'll be fitting that it's on Gillespie's home field, too. I mean, you haven't been able to get past them in the regional championship yet, so to do it on Gillespie's home field would probably be a little extra sweet for Hillsboro.
I would think so.
Yeah.
I sure would think so. Going to be a lot of fun. That'll be our first ball game today, live at 11 o'clock here on FM 106. Of course, we'll stream our triple header today online at WSMIRadio.com. We need to get to a break. When we come back, we will talk with Carthenville girls soccer coach Tim Johnson as the Cavvies get set to take on Decatur St. Teresa this afternoon at Litchfield for the sectional championship. Sports Saturday back in just a moment. We're happy to catch up with Carthenville soccer coach Tim Johnson as the Cavaliers getting set to play for a sectional championship today in Litchfield. They will take on Decatur St. Teresa. And coach, thanks for a few minutes of your time. I'm sure it's been an exciting few days around town.
Hey, Tim, thank you. Yeah, it has been exciting, especially with, you know, just the regular May feeling going on with school closing down and summer on its way. Everybody's excited.
And we'll get into the game coming up today, but I want to look back at this sectional semifinal win over Warrensburg Latham. It doesn't get much more nail-biting than 0-0 in double overtime.
Yeah, I agree. It was exciting as a simplest way to put it, I would say. Some people would say it was nerve-wracking, some exciting, some it was fun. But, you know, that's why sports are so great. in my opinion. Very rarely are you going to be able to get, you know, 40 to 50 high school age girls in one place at one time and be able to do something that has that type of feeling attached to it. It's just cool when you sit back and look at what athletics can do. It's cool, very cool.
Now, as the head coach, Tim, did you fall into the nerve-wracking or exciting category?
Let's put it at tense. We'll call it tense. not too nerve-wracking, not too excited. I would like to believe, I think some people would disagree, I would like to believe I'm pretty even keel when I'm coaching one of my teams. People would definitely agree that I'm a nervous wreck whenever I watch one of my sports teams, like the Blues or the Cardinals or something I have no control in, I think I struggle with. But, no, I think pretty even keel. My assistant coaches, they do a pretty good job at helping me out and helping the team out. And, you know, it's definitely not enough credit has gone to my assistants, Jason Crowell and John Overticchio, Ashley Campbell, and even our administration with Pat Drew and Darren Deneve. They have made things easy for me, just allowed me just to coach, which has been great.
And to be successful, you have to have that support system in place. Otherwise, it just don't work.
Oh, yeah. It's tough to do it by yourself. It can be done, but when you don't have anybody kind of watching over your back and helping you out and somebody to lean on and bounce ideas off of, it's difficult and it's really, really tough on your mind. And I am very, very happy to have the support and the coaching staff that I have.
When you go into a game, you certainly have a game plan. Now, when you get into the double overtime in the postseason, does the game plan change, or do you just stick with what you had planned going into the ball game?
The game plan is just that. It's a game plan for me personally. It's just a game plan for us to start the game, what we believe we need to do, what we believe we're going to see out there. But one of the big things that I kind of like to go off of, a simple kind of corny statement, is adapt or die. Mm-hmm. So as the game goes on, you know, we're making a lot of mental notes and a lot of conversations are going on about how we can adapt our play and our style to be successful in that day. You know, not every player is going to have their best every single day. Not every opponent is going to play the same. So we're always prepared when the game starts, and then we're also prepared to adapt as the game goes on. By the time we got to that overtime period, the first one, we closed out the game and the regulation, and we were playing pretty well. We were kind of really, really pressuring them and having good opportunities at the end of the game. So we went right into the overtime with the same lineup we had at the end of the game, for example. So we had maybe four girls who didn't start who actually started the overtime because they had fresh legs and they looked good.
How was the field? Because, I mean, it rained a bunch that morning.
It did rain a bunch that morning, and it was dry. There was a little bit of puddle in one of the goals, but it was dry. But the grass is very thick there. It was thick. It was a little tall. So that it was slowing us down a little bit, slowing the opponent down as well. But the field conditions weren't too bad.
Now, you mentioned adapt earlier, and today you're going to have to adapt because Rory Drew's not going to be there. She's kind of busy with some sort of state track meet thing.
Yeah, she's busy. She'll be there with us, maybe not physically, but she'll definitely be on our minds, and I think we'll be on her mind too. We're so happy and excited for Rory to be able to compete on Saturday at state track meet, and I think she's going to do very well. She's got a great chance to get a medal. We had a conversation yesterday at practice with the whole team, and we discussed the situation. And if you were to take a straw poll of our entire team and our coaching staff, I would say almost every single person is going to say, go ahead and go get that state medal, Rory. We're going to take care of business ourselves, and we'll see you on Monday for practice.
Yeah, that's the best-case scenario right there, Tim. And I guess how will that affect maybe your rotations, your substitution patterns? You mentioned adapt. That's what you guys will do.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's the way that we like to say it, next man up. which is simple for us. We play a full depth lineup. We don't have a single star on the team. We're a full team game, so really that gives a little bit more excitement for our bench. Somebody's going to start that doesn't traditionally start, and our bench players are going to get some more time, and people are going to get opportunities to impress. It's exciting for us. We're not too worried about it. We wish that we would have things would have worked out, and we would have been able to move the game time a little bit. But the only reason we're really hoping for that is so Rory could compete in both. She deserves to compete in both. It's a small window of time for these kids to be able to compete like this in athletics competitively. It's just unlucky that she's not able to compete in both. But she definitely deserves it.
She absolutely does. And, of course, for the Carmenville team themselves, they were in this game last year in the sectional final. Now, Tim, I know it's your first year as the head coach, but how many of the girls that you will play in the game today were involved in the game last year?
A lot. Specifically, I don't know the exact number. We lost two seniors from last year, picked up five freshmen this year. So for the most part, you're looking at close to the same group. We lost a couple girls who were very, very important to the team last year, but we picked up plenty more that have been important to us. And our juniors and our seniors this year have stepped up and led. And, you know, that was one of our goals. I know we talked last week about some of our season goals, and this was one of them as well. You know, the first one was the conference, and the second one was to get back to this sectional final and kind of flip the script and move on to that next game. If I'm not mistaken, I think Carlinville girls soccer, this will be the fourth time that they've made the sectional championship game, and they've never gone past it. So, we kind of finished our conversation yesterday with we're prepared to go make some history.
And when you've got a team like you have this year, Tim, the 2 days between games has probably felt like a week, so I'm sure they're just chomping at the bit to get back at it.
Yeah, I think so. Maybe I may have not thought that yesterday after playing 100 minutes of soccer and what I believe to be the first day of with a little bit of humidity in the weather when we played on Wednesday. So yesterday was a good active rest, we'll call it, at practice. And today I'm going to see them here pretty soon, and they're ready to go. And they're very relaxed. They've been here before.
The opponent, private school, Decatur St. Teresa. I know they're playing in their first sectional title game, but this is a team specifically for St. T this year that is very strong.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they're very good. We're fortunate enough. We were hoping to strengthen our schedule a little bit this year to prepare for moments like this. We added my alma mater, Chatham Glenwood, to the schedule earlier in the season and got some great competition there and some great experience in that game. And we added Decatur St. Teresa to our regular season schedule as well. And with that last week of the regular season getting completely rained out, it actually ended up being our game against St. Teresa was our last regular season game. And if I were to describe that in basic terms, it's like watching a heavyweight prize fight where both teams were so quality and so talented, it almost looked boring out there. Because it just neither one of us was budging much, and it ended in a 0-0 tie. And I think both teams are really excited to play tomorrow.
Yeah, there'll be no ties this time, obviously. And so there's no really, I would say, advantage either way when you play to a scoreless draw like that. Is there anything you can take from that game, moving it into the sectional final?
Plenty, yeah. There's plenty we can take, and we actually will pick and choose what we'd like to discuss with our team and what we want to really focus on. But when we analyze our film and we analyze our opponent and ourselves, it's easy to pick up on some tendencies and some concepts that like we'd like to work on, some changes we'd like to make, what went well, what didn't. So it's very good to be able to have that film. It's very good to be able to have that competition in the regular season because, like I had said last week, our goal was to be at our best at the postseason time and at this time of the year. So we're there and we're ready to go.
2 o'clock start in Litchfield, Carletonville and St. Teresa for the sectional final. Talking with head coach Tim Johnson. And Tim, I know after we talked last week, you had mentioned that moving forward, you guys are going to try to get away from being known as the girls' soccer team and just simply brand it as Carletonville Soccer. Just talk a little bit about that.
You know, it may sound silly to some, but for a while there, when I was coaching the boys' team, and Ashley Hayes, who did a great job with the girls for the past 5 years, while she was there, we were two separate coaches who worked in two different buildings, who coached two different teams, and that's kind of how it was. There was the boys' team and the girls' team. There was nothing wrong with that, but now that I'm coaching the boys and the girls, it makes sense to bring us together as one. You know, and one of the benefits to that in the off season during the winter was the girls were very curious on what their new coaches were going to be like, and our boys team was able to help them out a little bit, give them some tips, and really, believe it or not, we've got a lot of boys soccer players who are in relationships with girls soccer players, so we're kind of all meshed together, and I think it's better for our program and better for our school to be one.
Yeah, sounds like a fantastic idea, and it's going to be a lot of fun in this sectional final, and it's a busy day for Carletonville. The baseball team's playing for a regional championship. You're playing for the sectional championship, and of course, Rory Drew up at the state track and field meet. People that can only be in one place at one time, Tim.
That's right. Only one place at one time is about as accurate as you can get there. It's been a great year for Carletonville sports. Baseball has done great. Softball had a great year, too. They had a great second half of their season. Our boys track team, Coach Ken Garrison, who's had an amazing career, just won the sectional last night. Mm-hmm. Our girls track team is doing well, and that's just the spring sports. You know, I coach all year round. At least this year I did, and we've been successful all year, and it's fun for the community. It's fun for the kids. It's fun for the youth in this town as well to be able to look at the high school age kids and see what they're doing and want to emulate that when they get to high school.
It's been fantastic stuff. Tim Johnson, thank you so much for a few minutes of your time here, and best of luck against St. Teresa in the sectional final.
Thanks, Tim. Looking forward to it.
That was Carletonville soccer coach Tim Johnson as the Cavaliers get set to take on Decatur St. Teresa. That sectional final in Litchfield this afternoon at 2 o'clock. What a great day to be a sports fan around Mid-Illinois. So much happening today. The girls' state track and field meet will wrap up today with the finals. Good luck to Carletonville's Rory Drew. She will be competing in the 1A finals of the 400-meter dash. In Class 2A, advancing to the finals today in the high jump, Hillsboro's Casey Papin. She cleared 5'2" in the prelims yesterday. Staunton's Lydia Roller has advanced to the finals in the 1600-meter run with a time of 5:04.99. Mara Niemeyer of Civic Memorial has advanced in the triple jump. Jamie Heffley of Rochester in the pole vault. And Jaden Ulrich of Wood River advancing in the shot put. And in the 2A boys track and field sectional yesterday at Lanphier, Triad was the sectional champion. And state qualifiers include Staunton's Carson Rantanen in the 100-meter dash. He had the top time, 10.91 seconds. Roxana's Dylan Murray also qualifying in the 100. Congratulations to Isaac Green of Greenville. He qualified for state in Class 2A in the long jump with a distance of 23 feet and 1 quarters inch. In the 200 meters, Blake Marcus of Bree Central has advanced to state. In the 800, Andrew Burtman of Jersey is going to state along with Colton Mitchell of Rochester. In the high jump, James Arbuthnot of Jersey is going to state along with Cole Lilly of Roxana. And in the relays, Staunton's 4x2, Jersey's 4x4, and Rochester's 4x8. All of those relays advancing to the state tournament next week for 2A. In 2A softball yesterday, Southwestern beat Alton Marquette for the second time this year, as they won the regional final at Piasaw by the final of 5-2. Bailey Nixon got the win. Taylor Whitehead took the loss. The Piasaw Birds will now play in the Litchfield sectional in a semifinal on Tuesday. And congratulations to the Gillespie Miners. They've advanced into a regional championship game today. They beat Staunton yesterday 10-0. Bryce Higginbotham, 7 innings, 5 hits, 8 strikeouts, also 2-for-4 with a double and 4 RBIs. That game was played in Gillespie due to wet field conditions in Staunton. So congratulations to the Miners. They will now play Alton Marquette in the regional championship this morning. That game will also be played at Gillespie. We've got a triple header of championship play coming up this morning at 11 o'clock with the first pitch, 10:50 with the pregame from Gillespie in the 2A softball regional final. Hillsboro will take on the Miners. That'll be live on FM 106. Then live at 1 o'clock on FM 106, we will head to Nokomis for the 1A baseball regional final between Nokomis and Toledo Cumberland. And then at 3 o'clock this afternoon, the 2A Pena baseball regional final. We'll have the broadcast at 3 o'clock as Carthenville takes on Shelbyville. All three of those games will be heard on WSMI FM 106 and streaming online at WSMIRadio.com. Good luck to all of our area teams competing for championships today. Thanks to Carthenville soccer coach Tim Johnson for a few minutes of his time as the Cavies get set to take on Decatur, St. Teresa, and Litchfield. That match will begin at 2 o'clock. That is going to do it for Sports Saturday here on your 50,000-watt voice of Mid-Illinois, WSMI, FM, Litchfield, Hillsboro, Carthenville, and Greenville, the station you can count on. For David Jenkins, I'm Tim Mize. Have a great sporting weekend.